It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for this Thorn in the Side Thursday, the fourth day of June 2020. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tube. That's where the live stream is most easily found. It is also where the podcasts are easily found and obtained. And it's also the home of the Horn chat room, the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between and around the great globe. And if you'd like to be part of the aforementioned merry, wacky, zany, pick out a screen name and a password if you never have before, and jump right in. You'll be greeted by Anatole, House of Roberts, Silent R. Lamar, Roger in Oregon, and Squeaky, with more to follow most likely. And capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, although a third-stage guild navigator, sometimes you just don't want to navigate into a 105-degree man cave. It's just not worth it. So everybody's gathered together. And yes, as Squeaky notes, it's Thorns Day. And, well, we got them, we got thorns right off the bat. But every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, because you're the ones who keep this program on the air, and consequently, thanks go out to our subscribers for this fourth day of the month. That would be to Paul, Catherine, and Thomas. Thank you all most kindly for being partial sponsors of the program, so that nobody has to be exhorted to buy gold or a metal building or a wooden floor or a wavy radio or any of that other useless bullshit. Thank you. Thank you very kindly indeed. And let's see. We got the way it works out, there's $100 to go to finish fundraising for this evening, and there's $200 for tomorrow to finish the first week of June. So if we raise $100, we'll be even for the week, and that's amazing and fantastic. So if you want to help out, run over to HeadOn.live. The whole PayPal thing's right there on the main page. And then if you go to the Contribute tab, if you want to be part of join in via Patreon, you can go that way too. So, like I said, yeah, we got thorns. Boy, do we have thorns. Maybe we should subtitle this Clueless White People Behaving Cluelessly and Stupidly. It began earlier in the day with Drew Brees, the veteran quarterback of the NFL's New Orleans Saints. You know, where'd he play his college ball? Purdue, yeah. Well, Drew Brees declared that he would have no part in any kneeling protests of the national anthem when and if the NFL season gets started. Well, aren't you special, Drew? it did not play well. What he said, demonstrating the headache, no understanding whatsoever of what the kneeling is about. He was interviewed by Yahoo Sports yesterday, and he said, I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. When I look at the flag of the United States, I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps. Is everything right with our country now? No, it is not. We still have a long way to go, but I think what you do by standing there and showing respect to the flag with your hand over your heart, it shows unity. Yeah, no. Because the fact of the matter is, everybody who knows anything at all about the about the protest that Colin Kaepernick started was that it was actually started at the suggestion of one of his fellow players in the NFL, who himself is a veteran. I can't remember the gentleman's name. But the whole point is, it is not being disrespectful to the American flag. Never was. Never has been. No. But I guess Drew Brees didn't graduate summa cum laude from Purdue. It's the best I can figure. Because somehow or another, he equated it with insulting the memories of his dead grandfathers. Jesus, how willfully stupid can one human being be? And he got called out for it. Devin and Jason McCourty of the New England Patriots called his comments a disgrace. They added, to speak about your grandfathers as if there weren't black men fighting next to them, those men later returned to a country that hated them. Don't avoid the issue and try to make it about a flag or the military. Aaron Rodgers didn't mention Drew Brees by name, but he said, it has never been about an anthem or a flag, not then, not now. Listen with an open heart. Let's educate ourselves and then turn word and thought into action. And then two of his own teammates chimed in, because this the level of ignorance on display here is pretty broad and deep. Michael Thomas is a wide receiver with the Saints, and he said, you don't know no better. We don't care if you don't agree, and whoever else, how about that? Malcolm Jenkins of the Saints said, Drew Brees, if you don't understand how hurtful and insensitive your comments are, then you are part of the problem. I'm disappointed. I'm hurt. Even though we're teammates, I can't let this slide. Yeah, that it all went south really fast. And by the earlier today, Drew Brees was in full damage control mode, having hopefully actually learned what a howling mistake he had made. He put up a big old post. Oh, okay. That's how it's going to be tonight, is it? All right, Billable Rick. Bob, stop telling us how moronic were Drew Brees' comments. I know. But they were. And he was in a shitstorm by today. In an attempt to talk about respect, unity, and solidarity centered around the American flag and the national anthem, I made comments that were insensitive and completely missed the mark on the issues we're facing right now as a country. They lacked awareness and any type of compassion or empathy. It breaks my heart to know the pain I have caused. Oh, I don't know. maybe sometime into the season when you get blindsided by a, by an onrushing linebacker. Maybe you'll understand a little bit about the pain you caused. But he did. There's an element of the non-apology apology to this, too, and that's kind of sickening. I am sick about the way my comments were perceived yesterday, but I take full responsibility and accountability. Still, it's how they were received and perceived. Yeah, okay. He says, I'm very sorry and I ask your forgiveness. Jesus. Some people just have to. Why is it so hard for some people? And Sparky kind of got there ahead of me, but the next story in the stack was going to be a Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice update. Because you will recall that yesterday, Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice, during a coronavirus update, got that part? Said that he had received a phone call from my great personal friend, Donald J. Trump. The J stands for Republican National Convention in West Virginia. No. But I played this toward the end of the program. I'm going to do it again because he needs to be sort of inundated. For all the hell that Drew Brees took, justifiably so, it should be 100,000 gajillion billion million trillion conquillion times worse for Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice. But Donald Trump called to say that he just didn't think he wanted to have the Republican National Committee convention in the Mountain State. And it went like this.
He wanted to call me and let me know, that it looks like they're going to go another way. I knew it was a giant long shot and everything, but I wanted West Virginia at least to be on the radar. And so that's the thing. We talk frequently, but we just don't talk to chatter. I wanted him to always know just how welcome he is in West Virginia. And any president, we should absolutely welcome all, but, maybe not Barack Obama, but nevertheless, we'll welcome any president, He wanted to.
Jesus, Jim, just say the word. We know you're itching, too. Now, Sparky asked me the question, where could they hold the convention in West Virginia? Yeah, that's a good one. Todd in South Carolina, Stan. Old bourbon and barbiturates, Jim Justice. Yeah, I know. Two fingers of old panther piss and a nice loading dose of phenobarbital. Get you where you want to go. Where could they hold it? But there's not a city big enough in West Virginia to hold the Republican National Convention. In order to hold the Republican National Convention in West Virginia, you'd have to have fewer people showing up than even the government of North Carolina was willing to allow in because of the Rona. But he wanted to let Donald Trump know that he was welcome here, and we don't care how many virus-spewing freaks the Republican Party brings here to try to kill us. In no way, shape, form, or fashion, and am I going to prevent Donald Trump from having a convention here if he was to want to have one. Yeah. So in answer to your question, Sparky, where could they do it? Not Morgantown, not Martinsburg, not Clarksburg, not Parkersburg, not Fairmont, not Bluefield, not Huntington, not Charleston, not Beckley, nowhere. But you have to remember this part. Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice is the owner of one of the great storied resorts of the eastern United States, the Greenbrier. A home of a classic golf course, by the way, ironically named the Old Whitey. I mean, White. For a number of years, it was the home course to the PGA great Sam Snead. That's probably what Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice had in mind, holding the convention at the Greenbrier. The same way that Clorox Claudius wanted to hold the G7 at his dump at Doral. But as of today, they've got the governor's office went into damage control mode. There goes dinner in the Eastern time zone. This one's on ASA. Does Donald Trump's sack sit firmly on Justice's chin during these phone conversations? Well, we don't just chatter. Too early for Eastern dinner time, dinner hour? No. You put the quietus on dinner in the Eastern daylight time zone, ASA. And I can't tell you the number of listeners to the horn who are positively thrilled for you to have done so. And you know, as far as the podcast concerns, who knows? You may have just fucked somebody's breakfast. But like I said, they went into damage control mode and issued a statement. Because there's always a statement. Let me see here. Of course, you know it's going to. Going to come with the Jim Justice voice. His office declared, "Well, the remarks were made in jest, and it was in regard to the effect that the Obama administration's war on coal had on the West Virginia economy from 2008 to 2016. I want to love everybody, and by that I mean everybody, including President Obama. But at the end of the day, what happened to West Virginia during his time in the Oval Office will take us decades and decades to recover from, if ever." We can't even count the number of people that Jim Justice has killed with his mountaintop removal operations. So we can have decades and decades, and nobody's gonna, and those people aren't gonna recover because they're gonna be too busy being dead. And by the way, not that y'all don't know this, but there was no such thing as an Obama war on coal. In his first term, more coal was mined in West Virginia than any time in the state's history. But most of it, maybe, was mined via mountaintop removal. which doesn't require many people to do. It doesn't require a big workforce like an underground mine does. But wasn't it mighty white of him to say he wanted to love everybody, including President Obama? That stupid, evil little, nothing little about him, that stupid, evil billionaire tried to turn West Virginia into a sundown state. And we all know what that means, you know. Barack Obama, in no way, shape, form, or fashion should you let the sun set on you in West Virginia. He is utterly repulsive. But boy, howdy, the maggots just loved it when he said that. Ha, ha, ha. You see that? Hey, a great big old Governor Jim done told that Obama not to let sunset on him in West Virginia. By God, he's making West Virginia great again, ain't he? I don't care who you are. That's funny. So, just for the record, we'll make it clear. Make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice does not speak for me or thousands and thousands of West Virginians who aren't racists like Jim Justice, who don't walk around telling the Kunta Kinte story like Jim Justice, who doesn't brag when called on his racism by saying, "Now hold on a minute. I'm the richest man in West Virginia, and I got corn farms all over the eastern new 90 states of America, and I got very expensive farm equipment, and I let many of my Negro workers use and operate that equipment. That shows I can't be no racist. I ain't got a racial bone in my body." I feel like I need to shower with bleach. You know, just a full soaking. Well, I've committed earworm, according to Lee in New York. Lee says, "Now I have Elton John's 'Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me' stuck in my head." Oddly enough, I had that stuck in my head the other day. Not for this reason, though. Flavio says, "If my memory serves me, Obama spoke often of clean coal." Well, yes, as a matter of fact, he went around southern Illinois and southern Indiana and over into the ostensibly Appalachian part of Ohio in his 2008 campaign and said, "I want to turn Appalachia into the Saudi Arabia of coal." And that pissed us off right serious-like. Because, as I said at the time, I don't want to be the Saudi Arabia of anything. Bunch of religious maniacs. Yeah. He was a big fan of clean coal. And in fact, after the Upper Big Branch disaster, he came and spoke at the memorial service in Beckley for the 29 human beings who were so badly incinerated that they were no longer recognizable as former people. And he stood there on that stage and he repeated, at no charge, the advertising slogan of the West Virginia Coal Association. we must remember that Colt keeps the lights on. And for his trouble, he earned their undying hatred. Because, I mean, the United Mine Workers, who don't have a long history of endorsing Republican candidates, couldn't even bring themselves to endorse Barack Obama's reelection and instead stood silent. That was one of those mileposts when I realized that the United Mine Workers had abandoned any pretext of being a force for good. Yeah. But of course, Barack Obama developed his relationship with the coal industry back when he was just a state senator from Illinois. Because Illinois had and has a coal industry, and he was wined and dined and swanned around by coal company lobbyists and coal company executives and the like. Because you don't do politics in Illinois, or at least you didn't used to, without having to pal around with the people who were destroying lives and livelihoods and the land in the name of a combustible black rock. Lee pointing out, Jim Justice wants the Republican convention in West Virginia, but Trump prefers South Virginia. Yeah. That's good. Going back to Drew Brees, Steve in New York says, what I wish someone would point out is how these Christians worship the flag as a cloth idol. Brees doesn't understand when people fight for the flag, they're not fighting for a piece of cloth, but for what it represents. Ironically, it represents the freedom to burn the piece of cloth. In doing so, it honors what the flag stands for. Wait, what's this? Scott, share on the show. We need a laugh. In ancient Greece, oh goody, Socrates, 469 to 399 BC, was widely lauded for his wisdom. One day, an acquaintance ran up to him excitedly and said, Socrates, do you know what I just heard about Diogenes? Wait a minute, Socrates replied. Before you tell me, I'd like you to pass a little test. It's called the triple filter test. Triple filter? Asked the acquaintance. That's right, Socrates continued. Before you talk to me about Diogenes, let's take a moment to filter what you're going to say. The first filter is truth. Have you made absolutely sure that what you're about to tell me is true? No, the man said, actually, I just heard about it. All right, said Socrates, so you don't really know if it's true or not. Now let's try the second filter, the filter of goodness. Is what you're about to tell me about Diogenes something good? No, said the fellow. On the contrary. So, Socrates continued, you want to tell me something about Diogenes that may be bad, even though you're not certain it's true. The man shrugged, a little embarrassed, and Socrates continued, you may still pass the test, though, because there is the third filter, the filter of usefulness. Is what you want to tell me about Diogenes going to be useful to me? Well, no, not really. Well, concluded Socrates, if what you want to tell me is neither true nor good nor even useful, why tell it to anyone, me or anyone at all? The man was bewildered and ashamed. This is an example of why Socrates was a great philosopher and held in such high esteem. It also explains why Socrates never found out that Diogenes was banging his wife. Okay, yeah, that's a low-grade giggle. I thought it was going to be the one where he's being executed and he looks at him and says, all these years, Socrates, what is truth? Socrates, what is beauty? Socrates, what is goodness? Never, not even once, Socrates. Hemlock's poison. Yeah. Yeah, Megan said, when I first saw the Jim Justice comment, she said, Megan says, my first thought was, oh, Bob's going to have a shit fit over this. Give him hell, Bob. Well, I'm trying to tell the truth. They just think it's hell. As to the Greenbrier, Stephen New York says, oh, dear, dear Bob, he wouldn't be a Republican if he couldn't make a buck. That's the truth. Let's see. Kyle in Kentucky Stan says, to recap just how fucked up and spineless the right wing is in this country, we're at the point where Jim Mattis, John Kelly, Pat fucking Robertson, and the press secretary who hid in the bushes are the only ones who are making sense. I guess Tim Scott and Lisa Murkowski kind of too, but Jesus Christ. Yeah. Speaking of which, Pat Robertson. Didn't quite get to him last night. But it's true. He actually managed to condemn the stunt in front of the church. No kidding.
You know, there's a purpose of everything under heaven we read in the Bible, and there's a time. And it seems like now is the time to say, I understand your pain. I want to comfort you. I think it's time we love each other. But the president took a different course. He said, I am the president of law and order. And he issued a heads up. He said, I'm ready to send in military troops if the nation's governors don't act to quell the violence that has rocked American City. Matter of fact, he spoke of them as being jerks. You just don't do that, Mr. President. It isn't cool.
It isn't cool. Because if you want to know, if you want somebody to give you a barometer of cool in this country, the guy you go to is Senator's son and former liquor supply officer, Marion Pat Robertson. But even a stopped clock is right twice a day, and even a blind hog finds an acorn now and then. Congratulations on your acorn, Pat. It isn't cool. Now, this guy's an allegedly minister of the gospel. Not, so it's not cool? How about using some of that preacher in language there? Marion? How about saying that it's wicked? How about saying that it's evil? Sinful. There's a word you bandied about rather broadly, Marion. Sinful. You know, like how you talk about the Homer sectionals. Or people for the American way. Or liberals. No. Going to war against your own people. That's just not cool. Not cool. Oh, and a little bit of art of word knowing coming from Joey. Oh, by the way, Kyle says, when did Pat Robertson get a heart transplant to get one that actually works once in a while? Must have missed this. Well, see the aforementioned stopped clock. Anyway, French Connection, says Joey. Bob! When I heard the voice of Derek Chauvin utter words as he was murdering Mr. Floyd, I recognized that Cajun accent, indigenous and unique to the state of Louisiana. I recognized Chauvin's surname as being of a French derivation from the French class I took in college. I soon surmised Chauvin is likely a native of the greater New Orleans area, considering the French largely established New Orleans about 200 years ago, you know, the French Quarter, which led me to the question of how did this corrupt Cajun cracker cop from the Crescent City end up in an inner city precinct of Minneapolis? Hell, I mean, what could go wrong with a racist cop from the South working the inner city? Did the city of Minneapolis recruit him to maybe come north to help with some uppity urban folk? Just wondering how Chauvin ended up in inner city Minneapolis. It is, in fact, a French surname. The word we have for someone who is, well, what we now call misogynistic, that used to fall under the broad heading of chauvinism, as in male chauvinist pig. And chauvinism is taken from the name of a, I believe, French politician who was decidedly opposed to women's rights. Have I got that part? I'm sure the research department will get right on that. Anyway, Joey says, I decided to do a little research, and the name Chauvin is very prominent in southern Louisiana, so much so that a small town about 30 minutes southwest of New Orleans is called none other than Chauvin. The town was founded by Albert Eloi Chauvin in 1875, and Albert and his brother traded furs and other products up in the French market of New Orleans 150 years ago. Today, if you live in, down in the bayou, you'd recognize the Chauvin brothers and their fine products line. I hope the actions of Derek Chauvin will not damage or tarnish the name of the Chauvin brothers brand down in the deep south. We should ask John Bridevo or even Jack in Shreveport about the Chauvins. As a side note, Chauvin's estranged wife has filed for divorce and is asking that her last name no longer be Chauvin. Who can blame her? The movie The French Connection back in 1971 was about French mobsters, of whom some of whom were trying to smuggle drugs into the United States. As far as I'm concerned, Derek Chauvin is a French mobster, as the execution of George Floyd looked to me like a mob hit job. I also believe Mr. George Floyd never knowingly passed counterfeit cash at Cub Foods, I think. I really believe that someone in that store set him up at the request and behest of Derek Chauvin because Chauvin, for whatever reason, wanted Floyd dead. In my mind, there are more than just four cops complicit in this execution. Okay, let's make a French connection, shall we? Since Chauvin put his knee on the neck of George Floyd and killed him, why not utilize the French guillotine on the neck of Chauvin and be done with him? As for the other three cops, in the words of Marie Antoinette, qui mangeant de la brioche. Yes, let them eat cake for the rest of their lives in prison. This has been Joey's Journal for the 4th, 4th day of June, 2020, with Giraffery in the French Quarter, consuming Bananas Foster and Bordeaux wine. Yes. But by the way, there's another angle that has been noted as to the that rather quick filing for divorce by Mrs. Chauvin, and that is the possibility that all his assets may be transferred to her in an attempt to keep it away from anyone who would sue him personally for his actions in an effort to pursue him the way that Ron Goldman pursued the assets of O.J. Simpson. Some things are, well, subject to analysis. Note coming in from Baltimore Bob about Posse Comitatus. Bill Barr doesn't need to have his boss use federal troops to violate Posse Comitatus in 1957 when Governor Orville Faubus gave him too much lip over the Little Rock Nine. President Eisenhower simply signed Executive Order 10730 to federalize the Arkansas National Guard. In 1963, President Kennedy signed Executive Order 11111 to federalize the Alabama National Guard. That ended Governor Wallace's stand in the schoolhouse door. So what if President Pig federalizes 20 or more National Guards not to further civil rights, but to curb them? What if one or more National Guards resists? I guess that's when the fun starts. A prelude to such fun has already begun. Here in my state, Republican Governor Larry Hogan ordered the Maryland National Guard to guard our hidden stash of 500,000 COVID-19 test kits from FEMA stormtroopers. Yeah, I know. Kyle says, somebody needs to tell the goddess of irony she's allowed to take a rest every once in a while. Oh, when she's on a roll, she's on a roll. Flavio says, Pat Robertson, a 90-year-old telling a 73-year-old he's not cool. I'm dying. Ooh, I'm dying again. No doubt. So, as I said, it's a thorn in the side. Ah, okay, thank you. Chauvinism was the original French for jingo, says Flavio, a form of extreme patriotism and nationalism and a belief in national superiority and glory, also defined as an irrational belief in the superior dominance of one's own group of people. Ah, according to legend, French soldier Nicolas Chauvin was badly wounded in the Napoleonic Wars. He received a pension for his injuries, but it was not enough to live on. After Napoleon abdicated, Chauvin was a fanatical Bonapartist, despite the unpopularity of this view in Bourbon Restoration France. His single-minded, blind devotion to his cause, despite neglect by his faction and harassment by its enemies, started the use of the term. Merriam-Webster's dictionary, as of 2018, begins its first example of the use of the term chauvinism with an attitude of superiority toward members of the opposite sex. Oh, that's quality. Randy in PA reminds us of the great Bob and Ray. When you're on a roll, there's butter on your pants. We needed that. But it is, in fact, a thorny Thursday. No doubt about it. And so off to Washington State we go to check in on one of several Republicans who are vying to be the Republican nominee to challenge Jay Inslee for governor. Dude named Tim Iman is one of those candidates. And he just couldn't help himself, so he had to go on Facebook Live over the weekend, in which he declared that Governor Inslee, one of the most competent governors in the entire United States of America, quote, has his knee on the neck of all the Washingtonians that he, Jay Inslee, deems not to be essential. And then he doubled down. He was proud of it. He thought he was clever. He did it again in an appearance at Pasco, Washington, Tuesday. And then several times today, having embedded a 20-minute video in a fundraising hustle email. On Facebook Live this weekend and also in Pasco on Tuesday, I said that. I'm saying it again today. I'm going to keep saying it because it's true. Yeah. Because, see, earlier I had noted that these spoiled brat maggots, and I did this purely speculatively. I said that they considered having to wear a mask and stay home to be the exact equivalent of being lynched. And then this stupid fucker just has to go out and prove me correct. Eat shit and bark at the moon, Tim Iman. A little bit of discomfort is not the same thing as being murdered. As Jude in the Great Northwest points out, this guy's been a deep thorn. Oh, he's vile. Going back to early April, a bankruptcy judge ordered him to pay $270,000 in state court contempt fines and gave him till April the 19th to do it. Did he ever pay it, Jude? Because he's one of those, he's described by the Seattle Times as an anti-tax activist. That means he's a far right-wing loon, probably white supremacist wackadoodle. Because he's been a kind of a career candidate. And he owes over $340,000 in contempt sanctions and costs. Paid about $60,000 of it. And the sanctions, the interest is mounting. The Attorney General of Washington said he's supposed to pay $10,000 a month starting in May, last month, and then $13,500 a month starting in January, until he is paid off. The Attorney General of Washington State is Bob Ferguson. General Ferguson said, "This order reflects the significance of the contempt Tim Iman has shown the court in public." Because, see, Tim Iman, gold bud, gold bug, wackadoodle, loon, filed a lawsuit against the state in which he objected to producing documents under a court order relating to his company, Watchdog for Taxpayers. Woof. And in essence, what he's done is he has used his political candidacies as money laundering operations. And in 2018, filed bankruptcy. And the state of Washington is now his biggest creditor. Meanwhile, because he's also a professional victim, this jackass, it says it's a campaign reporting dispute. Yeah, no. And so, because he is a vile thug, that's the word we use, isn't it? Thug. He's running around saying that wearing a mask in public or being deemed to be a non-essential worker, you know, like, say, somebody who, oh, maybe runs a gun store. Because we ran across this with that other wackadoodle loon, Modi, the mayor of Grants, New Mexico. Yeah, it's just like being murdered. And when he was when he was blistered for what he climbing up onto George Floyd's dead back to piss and moan about his personal impression of the coronavirus lockdown, he responded, "Nothing disgusts me more than when government officials abuse their power and cost people their lives. Jay Inslee has inflicted devastation on millions of people he deemed non-essential. I hear from them every day." A spokescreep for Iman said, "With all the attention on the unnecessary killing of George Floyd," you'll notice it's an unnecessary killing. Sometimes it's just necessary, because logically, proceeding from that statement, there are times when it's just necessary to kill a black guy who hasn't done anything. "With all the attention on the unnecessary killing of George Floyd, Tim appreciates you helping him also shine a spotlight on those suffering under Jay Inslee's devastating edicts, many of whom will lose their lives to suicide, drug abuse, and delayed medical treatment. They will never have their stories told. It's courageous of you to break with much of the media and help your readers consider those silently suffering." You know, you almost never heard a Republican or a maggot bemoan suicide or, God knows, delayed or absent medical treatment. Until the Rona came along and Democratic governors took active measures to try to save the lives of the citizens of their states. Then all of a sudden the maggots became absolute tireless advocates against suicide and drug abuse and delayed medical treatment. No, they didn't. They're just climbing, just as Tim Iman climbed on the dead back of George Floyd, these maggots are climbing on the backs of people who are without medical treatment and without recourse and are subject to drug abuse and subject to suicide precisely because of policies that the Republicans have pursued all along. Let's recall that Republican state attorneys general are still in the process of a lawsuit seeking to take health insurance away from tens of millions of American citizens, many of whom are presently unemployed, have no income, and are screwed if they get sick. I think that particular thorn has gone plumb through my liver and down into my gallbladder, because I can feel my liver quiver. Jesus, these people. And just because we haven't kept up with the numbers too terribly well of late, as of yesterday, almost 20,000 new U.S. cases of COVID-19 were reported, according to the Johns Hopkins data, We are now, 4 days into June, approaching 110,000 dead in the United States, with the possibility of seeing that go to 200,000 by the end of June. There is a little good news. New York reported 49 coronavirus-related deaths Tuesday. And as horrifying as that number is, it is the lowest number that New York has reported since the pandemic began. Jeremy in Vermont, noting 36 new cases a town away from me this week. Jesus. The problem, though, is that the South is spiking. Their R number is R numbers are above one, and the numbers continue to climb. Robert Redfield, director of the CDC, told Congress, "Never has it been more clear that our nation's public health IT infrastructure requires modernization to support and collect reportable, reliable, comprehensive, and timely data. When we confront any disease threat, CDC and public health departments must make real-time decisions based on real-time data. Data forms the roadmap, and it informs policy. Data is the backbone of any disease threat response." Among the 50 states, 19 of them are averaging more new cases over the past week than the prior week. That means they're spiking, while 13 are holding steady and 18 are seeing a downward trend, according to CNN. Connecticut, wherein resides our dear friend Darlene, they've got the lowest positive test rate they've had in months. And so they're going to allow in-person graduations with a limit of 150 people starting on July the 6th, according to Governor Ned Lamont. This, too, is probably a terrible idea. Texas and Florida, of course, being run by among the most vicious and criminally negligent of maggot governors. Well, they're still going up, 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 up. And Governor Greg Abbott in Texas said last night that almost all Texas businesses are allowed to operate at half capacity. Florida is going to enter phase two reopening tomorrow. That means bars and movie theaters and bowling alleys at half capacity. That, according to a statement released yesterday by Florida Governor, Florida white supremacist adjacent governor, Ron Monkey Up DeSantis, who was only elected governor with the active help and support of real live, no kidding, Nazis. So that means if you're a Floridian and you voted for Ron Monkey Up DeSantis, even if you don't consider yourself a Nazi or a Klansman, you're in the same bed with them, and you're wallering all over them. You're soaking in it, dumbasses. What's that, Lee? Lee in New York says, wasn't this predicted for years? I remember the chant, "The South will rise again." It's a rising. Iman, the tax avoider maggot. Jack in Shreveport points out, those whiny maggot fuckers never suffer in silence either. Oh, no. Because they're special. A little bit of a blast from the past. Mike in Cascadia says, I wrote you this a while back on Tim Iman. This goes back to March. Yesterday in Bellingham, I drove by Catholic, Congregationalist, Lutheran, and Baptist churches. They were all closed. Washington has a snake oil salesman running for governor against Jay Inslee. This jerk, Tim Iman, has for 30 years floated voting initiatives in this state. Famously, his regressive career tab initiative in the early 90s guaranteed that Biff in his Mercedes paid the same car tab fee as a working guy. Working guy Joe in his secondhand vehicle. Iman now is in trouble for skimming $800,000 from campaign contributions, and he was busted last year for stealing a chair from an office store. He's a footpad knave and con man of the first order. Over the weekend, this was back in March, remember, Iman tried to rally 251 booger eaters to join him to flout Jay Inslee's 250 people gathering rule. Iman bragged he was bringing a six-pack of Corona. About 60 people showed up. What an asshat. Mike, Jude, if you know, has he paid what he was required to pay as of April 19th? Or is he still being a scofflaw? His subject line from David in South Carolina, Stan. McGubna follows Witch of Red Forest. South Carolina McGubna has jumped from COVID to hurricane briefing with no hurricanes in sight. Well, of course. Oh, and Randy with a helpful reminder, Randy in PA. Speaking of hustles, there's a COVID stimulus payment hustle on the search engines. Please, when clicking on a link, make sure that irs.gov is in the URL. Sage and sound advice. And here, closing out the first hour of the program, thanks going out to Jeremy for getting us started. And hopefully we'll knock out the remainder of fundraising this evening. And be even going into Friday on the front porch. Thank you, Jeremy. And you remember, it was when I was talking to Billable Rick a couple of nights ago. And I said, you know, there's vandalism and the property damage, and then there's looting. And I specifically used the issue of Confederate statues to make my point. And lo and behold, it's going on. So the Attorney General of Alabama has his knickers in a twist, because the city of Birmingham, Alabama, grew weary of vandalism taking place at an obelisk in a park in Birmingham. It's an obelisk that is referred to as the Confederate Soldiers and Sailors Monument. And Birmingham city officials took it down because it had become the target of vandalism. Or, as I like to refer to it, patriotism. So they took it down in an effort to keep it from being destroyed. Maybe the city of Birmingham should have just stood by and let some folks get a bunch of heavy-duty ropes and pull that goddamn thing down, let it land on the ground and crack and break into a million tiny pieces. But no, the city of Birmingham actually tried to act responsibly. First, early this year, they put a plywood screen around the Confederate Soldiers and Sailors Monument. And the Attorney General fined them $25,000 for doing that. Well, now the Attorney General of Alabama, who has apparently nothing better to do, his name's Steve Marshall, he's claiming that, and you know, he's sued the city of Birmingham, and he says the city violated the 2017 Alabama Memorial Preservation Act. Because the Alabama legislature, having solved every other problem that the state of Alabama has, found time to pass a law that makes it illegal for any municipality or any political subdivision of the state of Alabama to take down a monument to treason. Mm-hmm. Now, just to be clear, Birmingham is not exactly flush with cash. But they're paying. They'll pay. Although it would be kind of interesting to run this thing up the flagpole at the, I mean, not the flag, but take this issue up to the Supreme Court and make the argument that it's unconstitutional for the state of Alabama to pass a law in praise of treason. It would at least put old Balls and Strikes Roberts, who declares that there's no such thing as racism anymore in America, based on a case coming out of Alabama, by the way, and his partners in criminal jurisprudence, namely Sammy Bad Breath Alito, the guy who ruled that it was okay to shoot a fleeing black kid in the head at 30 feet, even though he was running away and not presenting any threat whatsoever to police. And, of course, Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Slappy Thomas, and Ann's boy Neil, and Brat Kavanaugh, who likes beer and mortgages that get paid off with shady money, and baseball and little drunk teenage girls. It would be nice to make them go on the record with that. So there will probably be shit hemorrhages in Alabama over that stupid monument. But the question is, can the Attorney General force them to put it back up? Don't think so. Meanwhile, up in old Virginia, Governor Ralph Northam has decided to stick the shiv in the white supremacists and break it off. He's ordering the statue of General Robert E. Lee along Richmond's prominent Monument Avenue to be removed and put in storage until they can come think of some way to deal with it appropriately. Delegate Jay Jones, a lawmaker from Norfolk, said, "That is a symbol for so many people, black and otherwise, of a time gone by of hate and oppression and being made to feel less than." And he was overcome by emotion, he says, when he found out that that noxious statue was coming down. So they're going to take the Lee statue off his pedestal and put him in storage until, while the Northam administration, quote, seeks input on a new location. So now, in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic and an outpouring of civil disgust at police lynchings of black men and black women, Ralph Northam has apparently figured out a way to get the maggots to come out and get all roned up, because you know they will. He's taken away our proud Virginia heritage. It's about heritage, not hating. Lee was a noble, noble man. Bullshit. He was lucky he didn't get his neck stretched for the treason in which he engaged. And at the time, he damn well knew it. Yep, Kyle's a mite upset. Why the fuck in 2020 do we still have monuments to fucking traitors who fought against the United States and tried to form their own kingdom so they could keep on having people with different skin color than theirs as property? How to deal with it, Kyle asks. Burn the fucking thing. That's how you deal with it. Melt it down. Goddamn, Jesus Christ, are we really arguing over statues of traitors? No argument here, Kyle. Personally, I think the statue should be replaced. Every Confederate statue should probably be replaced with a statue of a Union general. Wouldn't it be grand to start putting up statues of William Tecumseh Sherman in places like Atlanta and Columbia, South Carolina? Ooh, that'd probably make the maggots' little heads explode. That'd be something to see. Just like an idea I had earlier today, you know, Marion Buddy, the bishop of the priest of the Episcopal Church, St. John's there on Lafayette Square. She has now been, because she dared to criticize Clorox Claudius's hateful stunt with the Bible. Well, she can't go to her church anymore. She wanted to hold a vigil in solidarity with protesters, but they have built a wall around it, or they have extended the wall in front of the White House. And it now encompasses St. John's Episcopal Church. And so she is foreclosed from hosting a service in her own church. And when I saw that, the first thing that came to mind for me was that somebody needs to get a Ronald Reagan mask and a bullhorn and stand in front of that wall and, in a big, clear voice, doing what would hopefully be a passable Reagan impression, use that bullhorn and say, "Donald Trump, no. Donald Trump, tear down this wall." Again, little maggot heads would be popping all over the country. It would be a beautiful thing. Todd in South Carolina, Stan, says, in South Carolina, we lost any COVID-19 ground that was gained by the shutdown or slowdown. We did have one or two days of less than 100 new cases per day some weeks ago, no more. Back to daily totals between 250 and 300 new cases per day, in addition to the death rates being up daily. The official total of new cases today in South Carolina, Stan, is 361. And it's kind of surprising. I don't think I've looked at the Johns Hopkins site in several days, in a week probably. You look at that map and there's lots of gray all over the place. But the United States is one red blob. Worldwide, total confirmed cases, 6,589,090. Globally, deaths at 388,499, and fully 107,979 deaths are in the United States alone. Second place is the United Kingdom at 39,987. Italy in third. Brazil rushing up fast in fourth at 32,548. And the trend line is still climbing. The handle of the hockey stick is getting longer and longer and longer. Total confirmed cases in the United States, 1,867,620. Brazil has reached second place. Funny how countries with fascist dictators seem to have a harder time with this. But there we are, and there it is. Just as a matter of curiosity, I haven't checked my poor little county in a while. 52 cases here and 4 dead. Interestingly, they had free testing in Raleigh County, West Virginia. And somehow or another, those confirmed case numbers are still at 17. Hmm. 50 miles to the west of me, though, in Kanawha County, 230 cases, 19 dead. Doesn't sound like much, but in a state with a healthcare system as beaten down as ours is, a state with more in common with Gaza than with the developed world. That's horrifying. Mobile County, Alabama, surging and spiking at 2,321 confirmed cases and 118 dead. Little county where I grew up, 172 confirmed and 2 dead. All over the Deep South on this map, it just looks like the Deep South has the measles. God. And we're still blathering about sending kids back to school. Yeah. Dr. Fauci is saying he's not willing to make any broad statements about when it would be safe for kids to go back to school. When you talk about children going back to school and their safety, it really depends on the level of viral activity and the particular area that you're talking about. What happens all too often, understandably, but sometimes misleadingly, is that we talk about the country as a whole in a unidimensional way. It's sort of one size fits all. God. They say that large-scale vaccine trials will be started in July. Probably fuck that up, too, because, well, everything this gang of miscreants and thugs, foot pads, cut purses, and highwaymen, toadies, and lick spittles touch, they fuck up. Another hydroxychloroquine study has been pulled because studies are not supposed to deliberately kill people. But now there's a study underway. Do you remember when this whole thing began and they said, "Ooh, don't use ibuprofen." Well, now they're doing a study of the efficacy of ibuprofen. Yeah. Oh, and going back to Confederate monuments. Well, it was as predictable as mushrooms after a spring rain. And there she is. A maggot state senator. Oh, why does this have to be so goddamn predictable? When Governor Northam in Virginia announced that old Bobby Lee was going to go sit somewhere in the dark for a while. Well, Republican State Senator Amanda Chase. Forgive me, but that sounds like a drag queen name. Amanda Chase. She got her maiden forms in a bunch. And she, too, jumped on Facebook and went live. And said, "It disturbs me whenever I see people. Let's be honest, there's an overt effort here to erase all white history. That's what they're looking at doing. Listen, our grandfathers were guilty of slavery, and that's wrong. But that wasn't all that Lee and others were known for. They did other things, you know, like whip their slaves. They did other things. You know, there's not one human being who's not committed a sin. Taking down these monuments, it's all about shoving this down people's throats and erasing the history of the white peoples." Yeah, this woman's a real live, genuine Lulu. I mean, chase her down with a butterfly net. At one point in time, she said, "The Equal Rights Amendment ain't necessary because I got me a gun." How I wish I were kidding. Come on, Amanda. As for the... There's not a human being ain't never committed a sin. And as Steve from New York notes, "Well, okay. But I know I never committed treason." Oh, well, you know, treason, schmeason. You say tomato and I say traitor. Where do they find these fucking people? It must be a mighty big rock to fit all those maggots under it. I mean, just damn. See, I'm trying to get the damned audio to play. I just, you know. Lee in New York says, I saw the video. Is it just me or is she driving through the whole thing? Well, she may be a passenger.
Hi, good evening, everyone. I have a new update here, and this one actually has to do with an announcement that Mayor Stoney just made. Mayor Stoney has basically come out and said he's looking to remove all of our Confederate monuments. You know, I've spoken advocately against erasing Virginia's history. This does not belong to Mayor Stoney.
Wait a minute. Just a goddamn minute. I am, as we all know, a longtime practitioner of the art of word knowing. I have spoken advocately. I'll take that's not a goddamn word for a thousand, Alex. Advocately.
It belongs to all Virginians. It is our history. Do I think we should learn from it? Absolutely. And we should add.
Well, it's not the learning from it, it's the what you want people to learn from it there, Amanda Chase. And what exactly is that? I mean, it's all our history. I do wish she had had more of a Lindsey Graham accent. It would have made it a lot more funner. And I can speak advocately to that. I have it on good authority, says Megan. When canvassing for Liz Warren here in Virginia, I found out Amanda Chase was so batshit that the Virginia Republican Party threw her out. Also, she's running to be Virginia governor next year. Good luck with all that, Amanda. Bill in PA says, erasing the history of white people. Aren't white people the youngest of all humans? Correct me if I'm wrong. No, you're right. We only started paling out about 7,000 years ago. Oh, well, okay, that explains advocately. Scott in San Diego says, that's easy. She advocates Lee. I wish that wasn't so true. Advocates Lee. All right. No, that's clever. That gets a cowbell. Kyle says, what are we going to do? Take a giant oversized rubber eraser and erase each state one at a time or what? Jesus, these people are all fucking insane. And we're not even all the way through the clip yet, Kyle.
We should add to the monuments that are there. But you know, it disturbs me whenever I see...
Oh, yeah, she's disturbed, all right. You got that? She doesn't want to take any Confederate monuments down. She wants to add more Confederate monuments. Because we cannot have a Confederate monument gap. And Silent R. Lamar, getting right to the point. Oh, please, lady, attention. All American history is white. It's the rest of the history that's not told, or as some say, the rest of the story. P.S., lady, blacks didn't just pick cotton and rob and scaring white people with guns and the law on their side. Ms. Lady, not knowing your history, you're doomed to repeat it. Just look around. Secretly, she hopes someday there'll be a statue of her. Stop it, Bob, says Lee in New York. Amanda Chase does not know words or driving safely or history.
People, you know, let's be honest here. There is an overt effort here to erase all white history. I mean, that's what they're looking at doing. Listen, our grandfathers were guilty of slavery, and that is wrong. And I denounce that. I feel like slavery is wrong. It is
mighty white of you, lady.
We should never own another human being. But you know, that's not the only thing that Lee and others were known for. They did other things. You know, there is not one human being that has not committed a sin. You know, and if you think that you are that person, that's not correct. You know, we need to be respectful of everybody's culture and how everybody feels about these monuments. And personally, I feel like that we need to be respectful. You know, this is also a First Amendment issue. We need to remember that these are expressions of artistic expression. You know, whenever I work to get the porn.
Expressions of artistic expression. Straight out of a rejected script from the old Andy Griffith Show. Barney, what was the Emancipation Proclamation? Well, it was a proclamation of emancipation. That's what it was. Emancipation Proclamation. These are artistic expressions of artistic expression. And it's about free speech. Well, if it's about free speech, then the free speech she's advocating is the free speech to praise treasonous killers, traitors, in praise of chattel slavery. Go figure. Now, the worst part of all this is that there are people who actually agree with this.
That they wanted to show as quote-unquote education and literature in our public schools. The socialist Democrats pushed back and said that was free speech, that we should allow porn in our public schools and teach it as education.
No, they didn't.
Through some
She's
of the
a goddamn liar.
That they were recommended. You know, I pushed back on that with the summer reading list in Chesterfield County. But it just gets me that they think somehow that it's okay for them to revise history and eliminate the parts of our history that they don't like, that they don't appreciate. I think we need to add context to some of the monuments that are out there.
I know
friends of mine that, you know, those are their grandfathers.
Really? I didn't know old Bobby Lee got around so much. All of her friends have Bobby Lee as their grandfather. And we need to add to those monuments. What that statue of old Bobby Lee needs is maybe a statue of a slave standing next to him. I don't know, maybe polishing his boots while he's a-riding of his horse. Silent R. Lamar says she's a shining example of not hearing what she's saying. Nah, she's a shining example of not caring what she's saying. Cutting right to the heart of the matter, Kyle in Kentucky Stan says, where was the porn when I went to school? I might have showed up to health class more often. Redacted history, Lee in New York says, maybe American history needs to be redacted. You know, add black to American history. Wouldn't that be reblacked instead of redacted? Sorry, wordplay. Hey, Todd in South Carolina says that, yeah, traitors. As for West Virginia having something in common with Gaza, Asa says, don't be so modest, Bob. You're at least on a par with Bangladesh. Since Amanda Chase wants some context, Jeremy's willing to offer it. Here's your context. He was a fucking traitor. And by the way, here's your sign, fuckwad. Here's your sign. First Amendment issue, Stephen New York says, the goddess strikes again, citing the document their forebears sought to destroy as justification for keeping statues of those people who tried to do the destroying on display. Woo! Yeah, that's 200 proof stuff, isn't it? Do tell us more, Amanda Chase.
And the relatives of theirs, and I think it's very racially insensitive and racist in itself not to respect
I'm not a racist. You're a racist for thinking I'm a racist. Reverse racism is what it is, I tell you. Yeah. You mean to tell me, says Megan, that the South has no other people to celebrate than those in the Confederacy? Are you serious, lady? I refer the Horn Family Community Congregation to look up the Liberal Redneck on YouTube and check out his latest video that talks about this exact subject. That was a good one. Yeah. Jesus.
The history of all Americans. And so I'm opposed to that. And I would also say that Mayor Stoney has bigger needs in the city of Richmond that he needs to take care of instead of spending money on removing statues. Why don't you work on Richmond County Public Schools and getting those up to par?
Hey, you know what? We can do both. The mayor can walk and chew gum.
It's very disturbing to me that once again, that this Democrat new majority, they want everybody, they want the First Amendment for them, but they're not going to allow any differences of opinion. It's all about shoving this down people's throats and erasing the...
I've just got a question. It's when a Republican complains about something being done by a Democratic elected official, is this a repressed sexuality thing? Because they're always, they're trying to shove it down our throats. And it's without fail. They have no other way to describe anything that they object to except you're trying to shove it down our throats. And Steve, fuck you, lady. Those were not Americans, precisely. Now, the ones who survived and had their citizenship restored were, after the Restoration, American citizens. Americans. But the moment they took up arms and sided with the Confederacy, they renounced their citizenship. That's why it had to be restored. And the citizenship of anyone who died on that battlefield was not restored. I saw a story just the other day of a woman who had passed away just in the last month or so at the age of 90. She was the last surviving pensioner of the Civil War. Her daddy joined up with the Confederate Army during the war in North Carolina. He later deserted Confederate troops, crossed the line, realized what evil he was involved in, and signed up with the Union Cavalry Unit. He survived the war, lived to a great age, and married a woman significantly younger than he, received a pension for his wounds. His widow, with whom he had, before she became a widow, obviously, had a child in 1930. And that child continued to collect the check after her mother died as a surviving dependent of a Union Army veteran. And she just died in the last couple of months. Isn't that just something? Oh, dear, dear Bob, subject line, shove it down our throats. Steve says, as weird as these people are, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. Oh, no, I think there's something Freudian here, speaking of cigars. Kyle can't stop laughing. Ha, 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 she actually said she cares about public education. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, my God, make it stop, please. Eventually.
People, and I think that's wrong, and I would never do that to another person, another culture. You know, this is really just really frustrating to me. I had such a...
Wow, she'd never do that to another person, another culture, but she's doing precisely that by arguing that these monuments to fucking traitors, to fucking slavers, stay up. That whole using the big primate brain thing's just not working out very well for this little maggot, is it?
A great... event earlier today when we had an event for national peace, and here we have this Mayor Stoney, really just not representative of all Virginians, you know, just his version of history. You know, look, it's freedom of expression, it's a First Amendment right, and
back to that again.
I just feel like he's trying to erase history instead of allowing people to learn from it.
No, nobody's erasing the history of the Civil War. It's impossible to erase. But what we're going to do is stop glorifying the losers and the people who were patently, entirely, and utterly, and completely, and totally in the wrong. Either that or, you know, she says she wants to add to the monuments. Maybe she'd like to put up a statue of Adolf Hitler next to the statue of Robert E. Lee. How about that? Maybe everywhere there's a statue of a Confederate general, we could add a statue of Pol Pot, Mao Zedong, Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, King Leopold of Belgium, who, had it not been for Hitler, would own the concept of 20th century genocide. Ooh, I think I just came up with it. Take down the Lee statue. This will drive the maggots crazy. Replace it with a statue of a man that Robert E. Lee killed. You figured it out yet? John Brown. Robert E. Lee personally oversaw the hanging of John Brown. That would be it. That would produce a degree of butthurt in the maggots and the sons and daughters of the Confederacy that could be heard on the moon. After listening to this, Megan says, yep, Amanda Chase is batshit. For the record, Horn family, I'll be supporting Jennifer Carroll Foy for governor. Please Google her and donate to her campaign because I can't take any more batshit. Clorox Claudius has taken all my patience and nearly all of my sanity. Well, you just keep hanging on. Hang in, Megan. Enfold yourself among the love and caring of the Horn Family Community Congregation, and we'll get through all this together. Jeremy in Vermont, subject line, this monster. How much you want to believe this mad as a cooked goose woman also is helping spread the smearing of George Floyd? You know, he was high on meth, drugs were falling out of his pockets in the video, he had a record a mile long, not a nice man, you know. The same white, hateful shit as always. Oh, she's probably a big fan of Minneapolis Cop Union President Bob Kroll. Bob Troll. The pleading has begun. Maybe I should stop with the clip. Kyle says, shut the fuck up, lady. Better to let us assume you're stupid than go out and prove it. Jack says, what an idiot. It's not just the First Amendment. For example, more than one black person was quoted around here saying that a black person being dragged through the criminal justice system and having to appear in court at the courthouse downtown where the free speech history Confederate flag was still flying with all its freedom showing. Well, let's say they didn't feel like there was going to be any justice to be had. That kind of speech and heritage and history just needs to go. Yes, it does, Jack. Well said. Erasing the Civil War. Lee says, if the Civil War was completely erased, we would not have a holiday to mark the unofficial start of summer. Dear God, do they really want to do that? Yeah.
So, anyway, it's coming. The law that the General Assembly had passed, it is the General Assembly that had to approve the law this past session, which, because of the new socialist majority that we have in there, they were able to get that law passed that goes into effect July 1. They can, in fact, remove monuments with some other things that they have to do about taking the monuments down and storing them and those types of things. But I just wanted to give you a heads up. I think we should not erase history. We need to learn from it. We can walk in love and respect each other's history, each other's cultures. We can object to the sin of slavery, but that's, you know, these people did do other things that they're not just bad people because of that one
thing. Yeah, they are. Pretty much they are.
Unbelievable. All right. Thanks for listening, and you all have a good night.
Oh, go hit a telephone pole. And a reminder, Amanda Chase is a member of the Virginia legislature. So once again, we get to inquire, what the fuck is wrong with the people who put her in office? Holy mackerel. I mean, that's one stupid woman. But it means, by definition, that there's a whole bunch of stupid people who thought to themselves, hey, there's a great idea. Let's send a stupid woman to Richmond to blather about we have to respect each other's cultures. You know what? How's that supposed to work? Well, yes, of course, these are monuments to slavery and slave owners and people who were murderous psychopaths in defense of slavery, but she wants people who are harmed and aggrieved by those monuments to still respect them. Wow. I know, you heard the word too. Kyle says, what? Wait, they're socialists? Okay, awesome. So when do Virginians get health care and universal basic income and free college and a Green New Deal. Well, I mean, they're not that socialist. They're just socialist enough to. They're not socialist at all. How about that? But then again, anything. Anything that they don't like, well, that, by God, that there is socialism. Freedom! Yeah. Billable Rick says, Amanda Chase's electorate, I suspect that the voters of Western Iowa who kept racist Steve King in office for 10 terms are the same people who are voting for Amanda Chase. Voter fraud, y'all! Investigate now! Much cleverness there. Yeah, anytime you see one of these Lulu members of Congress or state legislatures or whatever, It always feels like it has the potential for an anthropological experiment. Preferably narrated by Richard Attenborough. Ah, now, see, they're in the backyard. The children are playing. The male of the group is grilling hot dogs. The female is cutting up a tomato. They look perfectly normal, don't they? You have to remain still and quiet, and we can't be noticed. Because if we're noticed, then they'll start screaming about how socialism is being shoved down their throats. Yeah. What the hell's wrong with you people? Steve King may be gone, but, well, that'll just leave Louis Gohmert to marshal all the crazy and stupid to him. Steve in New York says, what's next? Socialists? What's next? Calling us pinko commies? Everything old is new again. And every bit is dumb. Last one on Ms. Amanda Chase. From Silent R. Lamar. Bob, I have a question. Is there some place we could send them and fence them in that place? And if so, we must demand that they take Trump with them. And if he harms them, that way we won't be responsible for their deaths. Yeah, Trey, you're right. They're traitors. Absolutely. And Billable Rick says, I've got a trade to propose. Pat Boone medal for this Lulu clip you're playing. I think you have an unhealthy fascination with Pat Boone medal, Billable. A little therapy might help. There. Oh, that's perfect. Brother Deacon Asa says, here, Johnny, we erected a statue of the drunk driver who killed your parents right here in the living room. Can't erase history. Bingo. Or maybe Yahtzee. Flavio says they're all still traitors. Tom Cotton is a case in point. We talked about Tom Cotton calling for the use of the 82nd Airborne to come in and slaughter peaceful protesters. Evil fucker. And then, because the evil wasn't evil enough, the New York Times actually published an op-ed that he wrote calling for the use of military force against people exercising their First Amendment rights. Flavio refers to the Times as his stenographer. The hell were they thinking? Well, it's just another classic case of the New York Times engaging in toxic both-siderism. Hey, look, there's a group of people who are protesting, exercising their First Amendment rights. I mean, we've covered that at the New York Times, haven't we? Yes. Well, now we have to provide both sides. So here's Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas, who wants to murder them where they stand by using the United States military. Take it away, Tom. You fucking asshole. Oh, and hey, it's Thursday, isn't it? And we got $95 to go to finish fundraising for this evening. Jeremy having jumped in to get things started. But it being Thursday, we also have the Green News Report. Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. Always good to, I always enjoy hearing what they've got. So at the end of the second hour of the program, we'll sort of regroup, reboot, and look at and prepare for the final hour of Oh My God. Because there's still plenty of it to go around. All right. Okay, Brad and Desi. Take it away.
It's Thursday, June 4, 2020.
Everything in Louisiana will likely be impacted.
Buckle up. Tropical storm Cristobal takes aim at the U.S. Study confirms extreme rainfall events are increasing in the U.S., building new wind and solar projects now cheaper than running existing coal plants, new study finds. Plus, University of California divests from all fossil fuels.
All of those stories and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
You know, it's no secret. I got a little fang for science. I'm into the lifestyle, by which I mean continuing to live.
I hear ya. Good luck with that. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, of course, we've got pandemics, we've got riots in the streets, we've got locusts taking over the African continent. Naturally, here come the storms.
Yes, everything all at once. After producing deadly flooding in Guatemala, El Salvador, and Mexico, Tropical Storm Cristobal is picking up steam in the record warm waters of the Gulf of Mexico. Cristobal is already a record breaker. This is the earliest in the season that a third named storm has ever formed in the Atlantic since record keeping began in 1851.
And now this one is headed for landfall.
Oh, definitely. As we go to air, Cristobal is headed straight for the U.S. Gulf Coast, where the ground is already saturated. Officials from Texas to Louisiana to Alabama are scrambling to prepare for evacuations and ensure emergency shelters are safe for victims during the global coronavirus pandemic.
It's also Election Day in Georgia next Tuesday. Any chance the storm could affect folks in Georgia?
Probably, because there will be a lot of rain coming from this storm as it moves across the United States.
And because all of our nightmares now happen at once.
Louisiana's Democratic Governor John Bel Edwards, in a press conference on Wednesday, urged residents to get ready with COVID-19 in mind.
Now is the time to prepare. Put yourself and your family in the best possible position to ride out the first 72 hours of this storm. The mitigation measures that remain critically important and should be taken into account as you make your hurricane preparations.
And the fact that we've had a third named storm already in 2020 signals a very busy hurricane season ahead. Hurricane-related records have been falling like flies in the last 4 years. Meanwhile, a new study shows how man-made global warming is increasing the frequency of extreme rainstorms across North America.
You don't say.
Yeah, like the kind that caused the catastrophic, deadly floods that swept across Boulder, Colorado in 2013, and last year's devastating upper Midwest floods. The researchers project that at our current level of warming, extreme rainstorms that used to happen every 20 years will instead occur every 5 years. And worse, if no action is taken to reduce man-made global warming,
and no action will be taken to reduce man-made global warming,
then 100-year extreme storms will occur every 2 to 3 years by the end of the century.
It's going to be every 2 to 3 minutes by the end of the century. Are you kidding?
As we saw with the Michigan dam failures a few weeks ago, most of our current infrastructure was not designed or built to withstand these more frequent extreme rain events. The study comes on the heels of a new analysis of federal data on dams, showing that 15,000 dams in the United States are now classified as potentially high hazard that would kill people if they failed. To address the nation's aging infrastructure, House Democrats and the Transportation Committee unveiled a new infrastructure bill on Thursday to repair and replace roads, bridges, flood control systems, water systems, and boost renewable energy projects with a focus on climate resilience. Senate Democrats also challenged Senate Republicans to include economic relief for the U.S. domestic solar and wind industries in any new coronavirus recovery packages because they have not received the same federal financial support as the oil and gas industry.
Oh, I'm sure the Senate Republicans will be taking up all of that and passing it right through the Senate very quickly.
A new report finds that building new utility-sized wind and solar energy projects is cheaper than continuing to run most of the world's existing coal plants, marking a turning point in a global transition to low-carbon energy. That's according to the International Renewable Energy Agency. The cost of building large solar energy projects has fallen 80% in just 10 years, and the report concludes that utility companies would save a collective $23 billion every year by replacing existing coal with solar.
So it saves money for consumers and government alike?
Yeah, everybody.
So I'm sure the conservatives will love that and make that a top priority.
Finally, the vast University of California has announced it has fully divested from all fossil fuels, the nation's largest educational institution to do so, and instead is focusing its $126 billion portfolio on renewable energy and environmentally sustainable investments. The university joins a growing coalition of major institutions, pension and investment funds divesting from fossil fuels.
$120 billion?
Yes.
That's good news. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
California, here we come, right back where we started from.
We have a correction. I have a correction to offer. Ron and Raleigh pointed out, you misquoted Tom Cotton. He did not call for the deployment of the 82nd Airborne. My stepfather was one of the first black men to serve in that unit. He actually called for the use of the 101st Airborne. We wouldn't want to misquote old Cottonmouth, would we? I could swear he said 82nd Airborne. P.S. Tom Cotton's going to run for president. Help me. And that Canderville strip was quality. Yeah, it's been clear that fucker has presidential ambitions. And see, he's kind of what I was talking about when I said, what happens when the Republicans find someone competent to run on Trump's agenda? What happens then? I think we see that. And Tom Cottonhead. Oh, and thank you very kindly to Barbara. Thank you, Barbara. That takes us down to $70 to finish the evening. And thank you to Dave. Setting up a new subscription at $6.66. Well played. So that takes us down to, oh, dear God, loose change. That takes us down to $63.34. $63.34 to go to finish the evening. Thanks, Dave. Flavio, and talking about Tom Cottonmouth's op-ed, which was basically just a call for a military coup against the people of the United States. Flavio says, about the stenographer, what I will call the New York Times going forward, giving Cotton a megaphone, Esquire's Jack Holmes writes, the Times decision to grant him their imprimatur without challenging him in any way or providing readers with relevant context is a moral atrocity. Make no mistake, his prescription would lead to the killing of American citizens in the streets of their own cities. He said so himself. But there was also another argument in play, and it betrayed an attitude towards the rhetoric of authoritarianism that is dangerously naive on the parts of the New York Times. It's a variant of the sunlight is the best disinfectant argument, and it holds that fascist rhetoric like this should be widely and loudly trumpeted so that it can be dismantled using facts and logic. Throw it into the marketplace of ideas, where its value will swiftly plummet. But this represents a comprehensive failure to grapple with the nature of fascism, which is not bound by concerns about what is true or even what was said 5 minutes ago. It cannot be defeated by reason. It continually shapeshifts and changes form, rejecting previous bedrock principles in favor of their opposites whenever it is convenient. It is necessarily absurd because it is just an elaborate costume for a very simple message. Obey or I will hurt you. And that is why fascism is such that, the only way to deal with it is to stomp it out with extreme prejudice. It's kind of a paradox that the only way you can have a tolerant society is to be intolerant of fascists and racists and bigots and xenophobes. And it's true. Because if they get their way, everything dies. There are and never have been any good fascists. No good fascist regimes. They are all uniformly awful, and anyone who plays footsie with them is awful as well. Brother Deacon Ace says, why does your New York Times guy always sound like Thurston Howell III, Brother Bob? Well, just because that's what it sounds like when I talk with my teeth clenched. Because, well, after all, they're so much better than us little people. Oh, and Jeremy has kicked another $25 in on a challenge. Jeremy will double the next $25 that rolls along in the next, hopefully, 52 minutes or so. And that'll get us down to only $13.36 to go for the evening. So hopefully that will be met, and we'll be done, or just $13.36 short of done for the evening. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you tremendously. Lou with a note, the police officers involved in Breonna Taylor's death still haven't been arrested. Calls for charges grow ahead of what would have been Taylor's 27th birthday tomorrow, June 5th. Right. Now, one of them, I think Brett Hankinson, I think is his name. Last I saw, as I mentioned previously, he took his family on a Florida vacation, and his daughter and her bestie were posting Instagram photos of themselves in bikinis and talking about how blue lives matter. What in the hell's the holdup in Louisville? Well, it's that good faith exception to the Constitution of the United States as enunciated in U.S. v. Leon. They don't have to have the right address. They can kill somebody completely wrongly. But they get a pass if they were acting in good faith. Yeah. Okay, so here's the thing I'm going to do. I think I just merged a call from Scott and a call from Todd. At least I hope I did.
Oh, boy.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so we know Scott's there. How about Todd?
Hello?
Yeah, you're there, too. Awesome. Hey, guys.
Oh, something happened because it dropped out. And okay, so it sounds like are you splitting the line? That's great.
Yeah.
What did we do?
Okay, but whatever you're clacking at, Scott, has to stop.
I am sorry, Bob. I am opening the bag of coffee because I have gone all live long day without coffee. And do you know why?
Do tell.
I did not have sweetener. I did not have the sweetener, and I will not drink coffee unless I can drink it black with sweetener, but I can't drink it black with just black. And this isn't a racial comment, as you can probably gather. I'm opening the box of sweetener now. But what
you
did we? What
how
did
you sweeten your black, Scott?
Huh?
You better watch how you sweeten your blacks.
Well, you know what they say: the darker the berry, the sweeter the fruit.
Oh God. I can see how the rest of the program's going to go now.
But what possessed you? It's been, I haven't heard.
Oh, wait a minute. Bob, stop telling Scott how to clack properly. That courtesy of Jeremy in Vermont. Yay, the loose change got knocked down some. Let's see. What's going on here?
It's all going on, Bob. It's going on.
So Kyle knocked out $6.34 of the $25 challenge, courtesy of Jeremy.
Say hallelujah.
And maybe I'll have to stop. I won't have to do so much ciphering now. Ralph's just knocked out $10 of it. So that's $16.34. Lady B knocked out $4.20, $4.20 worth of it, so that's $20.54, leaving, oh my God, let's see here, ciphering, leaving $4.66 to go to finish Jeremy's challenge.
That was hard-earned money by Lady B.
Yes, it was.
For her prose.
How much is it, Bob? To finish the challenge is $4.66, and then that'll leave $13.34 to finish the night.
Oh, wow. So how much is that altogether?
$18? $13.34. $17.34. $18. 18 total.
All right. Put me down for that. That's what I was calling about anyway, was to let you know that I was a day late mailing the postal money order for the money that I pledged the other night.
Ah, okay.
But that's already been accounted for. All it has to do now is show up.
Right. And hopefully... Well, okay, Billable Rick wants to get started. He says, call it the Clean Out Your Couch Challenge. I'm making a Clean Out Your Couch Challenge. I'll pledge $4.66, and if it's matched, I'll triple it. Whoa, and that'll start us on Friday on the front porch.
Oh.
So we've got, that would be, I can't even begin, I can't even comprehend. I don't
make
know.
Bob's type. It's just don't do it.
It's hurting my noggin. Thank you, Scott. Thank you kindly.
Of course, now you know what this means.
What's that?
I've got to haul my white ass back down to the post office tomorrow and have them make out a money order. But I'm happy to do it.
And Lou just jumped in and met Billable Rick's challenge. So that gets us $20 going into 20 plus a dollar. So that gets us $20 along the way toward Friday on the front porch. That's awesome.
All right.
So Todd,
Yeah,
go.
I thought I was the only one with the low to the ground people to get the cushions cleaned out, but I guess they have organized and they're spread out now. But Scott, I have a question for you.
Oh, okay.
All right. How much is a money order now?
Well, let me see. I think they're about $1.50 or something, or $1.65. Let me look at the receipt. I've got to do my bookkeeping here. So I've got all my receipts. Let's see, is this it? Yeah, post office. No, actually they're $1.25 a piece. Well, wait a minute. One of them is $1.25 and the other one was $1.75.
Do what? Post office money order?
Yeah. Maybe
it's based on the amount.
Yeah, maybe so. One of them was for my $25 to the horn from the other day, and the other was for rent. And I'm sorry to tell you, Bob, the rent lady gets more than horn gets.
Oh,
I got no
issue with that whatsoever.
So yeah, they're either $1.25 or $1.75 or however big you make your money order. I don't know. I never knew that it was on that sliding scale or whatever.
Used to be.
That's why I asked you. That's exactly because when I learned that some years ago, you know, when I used to pay rent every month and you hustle around, you know, you wait for the check to clear and you got to get the rent and go and get a postal money order or check. And sometimes they didn't want a check because people kept bouncing checks. And you find out it is on a sliding scale at the U.S. Post Office. But if you live in the hood or the large city, if you go to a check cashing place, you can get a money order for a quarter. Well, it used to be a quarter. Now it's like, I don't know, 50 cents or a dollar maybe.
Yeah. Or 7-Eleven, I think, used to have like 39-cent money orders.
Exactly. Exactly.
69.
Oh, hey, it turns out I was right. Our buddy Mark down in Florida just sent along a screen cap of Tom Cottonmouth's tweet. And if necessary, the 10th Mountain, 82nd Airborne, 1st Cav, 3rd Infantry, whatever it takes to restore order. No quarter for insurrectionists, anarchists, rioters, and looters. That's the problem, that insurrectionist language.
I would like to apologize to every person of color within the sound of my voice that there's a person of my race who is that irretrievably stupid. I know it's not my fault. I know it's totally his fault. But I feel obliged, pardon me, I've poured the coffee, I've stirred, and I'm going to sip in a minute. But I really sometimes feel obliged to say sincerely to all people of color everywhere who have to listen to this crap that these imbeciles pump out there. They are just irretrievably stupid. Am I even close?
You're engaged in the same struggle that many of us have, trying to describe these fools and these dangerous freaks in terms that make it abundantly clear exactly what they are.
Well, and see, not all people are like that. You're certainly not like that. You were raised in the South. Luckily, you had good parents and grandparents and aunties and uncles who steered you the right way. Or that's the other thing. Any one of us could have ended up crazy, depending on who we were exposed to in our formative years. Fortunately, I mean, my parents were dysfunctional otherwise, but they at least taught me how to be a decent human being. You know?
Yeah. And by the way, Kyle jumped in and said, I echo Scott's apology. I think most decent people do. Oh, and here's the scale on the money order. Lee lets us know the U.S. Post Office charges a reasonable buck and a quarter for money orders up to $500 or $1.70 up to $1,000.
Hmm. Well, that's still cheaper. And see, I only got a money order when I'm sending a contribution to the Horn and to pay my rent. Everything else is either cash, the debit card at the store, or buying shit online.
Right.
Those fucking banks, that's one reason I don't have a bank anymore. Bank of America, God, at least 18 years ago, did a number on me. And at that moment, I said, fuck it. I will never have a bank account ever again. And that was like 2003.
Scott, I got pushed over by that same institution also.
See, and they weren't bad when they were just in California.
Right.
And they were a regional bank, and the family of the people that started it years ago in the 1800s was still connected with it. They weren't a bad bank, from what I've been told. But the minute they loosened up the regulations and expanded, you don't want your bank to be like coffee, you know, syndicated coffee joints.
Well, when I had my dispute with them, with BOA, Bank of America, they were absolutely, you couldn't even be, there was no reasoning with them.
Of course.
That was it. And I said, oh, okay. And I quickly dismissed them. And then I went to, I had been with Wells Fargo, you know, I have a couple of accounts, whatever. But, you know, I've closed all my commercial accounts out, and I would encourage everyone else to do. Sometimes you have to have a commercial account for certain reasons. But, you know, one way to speak that we can speak, everyone who appreciates the Horn and is part of the Horn family, we should all be, if you have the money, you know, if you have any money, any income, credit union, your credit union.
Yeah. Now, I have, in years past, I have had credit union accounts, but there are only two banks I've ever dealt with in my many years on the planet that were truly and really worth a damn. And they it was one-on-one personal service, and you felt as if they really cared about you as a human being, not just an account number. One was an old bank in Alexandria, my hometown. Oh, by the way, they tore down the they pulled down the statue of that fucker there at the intersection of Washington Street and Prince, I think, that's been standing there looking south for many, many years. Well, he's looking somewhere else now. So, and I never thought I'd live to see that in my hometown, because they've been trying to tear that piece of crap down for at least as long as I've been alive. But one of them was Burke and Herbert Bank in Alexandria, and the other was Huntington Bank, which I think was based in West Virginia somewhere. But I had an account. Apparently by then they had branches in the Cincinnati area where I lived. And those are the only two banks I've ever dealt with that were worth a damn.
I think Huntington Bank was named for Collis P. Huntington. For instance, Huntington, West Virginia, and Huntington Beach, California, are both are both named for Collis P. Huntington.
Well, who is Mr. Huntington? Who was he?
He was the father of the Chesapeake and Ohio Railroad.
Well, blow my whistle.
A gajillionaire and whatnot.
Yeah.
Was he friends with the guy he faced in Sacramento? He was an abolitionist, and when they were fighting, you know, when it became clear California was going to be a battleground for slavery, Fremont. There's a big movement about the Fremont. I have an academic friend. He has a book about what's going on with Fremont and his wife, Julia. I think her name is Julia. They did a lot of good work. I'm sorry if I went off on a little tangent there, but it's so, you know, we're just going in a circle in America. This is, we shouldn't even be in this place right now. And I would like to ask this question because you were two middle-aged white people, white men, I think. I mean, it only matters in this instance that I'm asking this. Because today I had to explain to someone when they said, oh, these crazy protesters. And so, you know, I felt obliged to say something. And I probably shouldn't have said anything because I wasn't, you know, I was in my professional self and I probably shouldn't have said anything. But apparently there's still a lot of people who don't understand why there are so many people putting their lives at risk because of this problem that we're dealing with. And I had to explain to them, I'm like, you know, why do you think all these people are this upset? During COVID and putting themselves at risk. I said, why do you think that is? And they just don't, they really don't get it. And they don't know anything about what happened in St. Louis or I don't know what's going on. And these are like, okay, people, you know, I don't know what is white privilege that deep. I don't understand. So please explain it to me because this is what people have been saying for hundreds of years. We had the videos now, and it's still an issue. And they still want to blame the victim. Well, he should have just done what the white man said. And once again, I have to say, Professor Gates was asked for his papers on his front porch. He produced his papers, which we call a driver's license now. That wasn't good enough.
You know, Todd, I think people... People like the ones you're talking about, who have not experienced it for themselves, see people protesting it who themselves have not experienced it. I'm talking about the fact that this is very much a mixed protest. Okay, it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. The people you're talking about can't understand how people who have not been victimized by racism can object to it, because they themselves are so emotionally stunted that they're incapable of sympathy or empathy. That's as close as I can get.
Can I take a stab at it?
Yeah.
Well, there are two aspects. There are probably more aspects, or facets is probably a better word, to what the deal is. There's a fair number of people who, if they're aware of even a modest amount of American history, they tend to think, well, that was then and this is now. And if they're aware of the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act of 65 and 64, to their thinking, well, that took care of everything. Nobody should have a care in the world.
Oh, that's old Balls and Strikes John Roberts in a nutshell.
Well, yeah. But what they don't get is the very fact that from emancipation in 1865 to 1964 and 65 was 100, 101 years. It took that long just to get the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act. And that was only a first step. You know, it's frustrating as hell that there are people walking around upright who think that unless it's happening to them, and certain things will never, ever, ever happen to them, unless they wake up one morning like Godfrey Cambridge did in that movie, And turns white or turns black, whichever he did in the movie. You remember that movie? The comedian what the hell was the name of that? I don't know. Somebody knows.
I know who you're talking about, though.
But the guy was, I think he was white, an uptight businessman, conservative, and something occurred overnight, and he woke up the next morning, and he was black, and had a whole new... He had a whole new fucking world to contend with. Well, unless something of that magnitude happens to the, a lot of these people, they're just skipping merrily along, tickety-boo, sweet as you please. And if it ain't happening to them, it ain't happening.
It ain't happening, right.
Right. They got fucking blinders.
Yeah, that's mostly what I was trying to say. I think you may have said it a little bit better. By the way, Todd, you got a note from Barbara? She says, tell Todd they took down that tyrant Frank Rizzo's statue in the wee hours of the morning yesterday.
Oh, great.
Protesters had defaced it and tried to tear it down on the first day of the demonstrations. So we who experienced his racism and brutality are gleeful about its dismantling.
Praise the Lord.
I'll bet you Todd could tell some Frank stories Rizzo. About that motherfucker.
Man, Frank Rizzo, let me tell you, and he was nasty to the day he died. And he was, oh boy, where do you start with him?
Well, Barbara adds, I should have said that the current mayor, Mayor Kenney, ordered it taken down.
Now,
Mayor Kenney came up in the city council way back when Milton Street, like I'm getting real insider here in the weeds, but maybe Barbara, people know who I'm talking about. There was a real radical crew in the early 70s, mid 70s, like Milton Street before he became mayor. You know, he was a food truck guy and his brother was kind of the brains. And, you know, they met people or whatever, and then they got into politics, and then Milton Street became mayor, and he did a good job for the city. But you see, Philadelphia is the northernmost southern city. You got to remember, it's only 30 miles from Wilmington. It's really almost a southern city. It's just in the north. But Frank Rizzo, I mean, come on, this dude would beat. He would tell you, I'm going in the black neighborhood tonight, and I'm beating heads in, and that's exactly what he did. Law, you talk about law and order, Frank. Look, we have terrible memories of Frank Rizzo. I mean, awful. He was like Bull Connor of the North. Believe it.
Yeah.
That's probably the best description of Frank Rizzo I've ever heard. And the movie, by the way, James in Illinois and Ron in Raleigh and Jimmy in Seattle, all jumped in. That's the Watermelon Man.
Watermelon Man. Goddamn, I couldn't remember that to save my life. Godfrey Cambridge was a funny man. If you can find video of him, God, I used to love him.
That's because he was brilliant, I think.
Oh, he was.
That reminds me of some of the hoops that W.C. Fields would jump through to let his movie-going audiences know that he was swearing without running up against the code. And I think it's in The Bank Dick, where in exasperation he declares, Godfrey Daniel, mother of pearl.
What is it about W.C. Fields? He is, I mean, his movies never get, oh, he was a genius. That shit is still funny, and they didn't have shit to work with.
I don't think you could have that, you know, that just stunning car chase scene in the Blues Brothers. I don't think you get that without the car chase scene in The Bank Dick.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
We all like movies, I guess. And we look at it, that's like early Los Angeles. That's a new concrete. But that bank building with the alarm, I mean, there are banks just like that abroad and in Philadelphia. I can see it in my mind right there. It's a bank. It has that same outdoor alarm. And Olney was built up right when L.A. was being built up, like in the early 20s, like that. Because you see how clean those streets were? It's just so much. I'm sorry, I'm getting into minutia, but it's just...
There is a website. I don't know how you feel about the Three Stooges, but I loved the Three Stooges. And somebody has got a website about the Three Stooges, And in every episode, when they're out of the studio, it's a location deal where they're filming. There are several episodes where there are firemen, and it's an actual firehouse that they are working at least out in front of it, because they have to run the hoses across the street to dry them out, and the streetcar runs over the hoses because they run them. But that apparently a lot of those buildings are still there, and this guy, I forget what the website is, but you can look at any of these outdoor locations where the Three Stooges and Laurel and Hardy and others filmed at, and it shows you what it looked like then, what the films were that they were featured in, the places, and then what the places look like now. And I love that shit. But I've got a question about Frank Rizzo for Todd. Wasn't he the person in charge when they burnt down the better part of a block of some
move?
They called them militant.
No, but he was close. No, that was Wilson Good, a black man from North Carolina. But Frank Rizzo.
But that was in Philadelphia, though, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But see, the fire commissioner was Rizzo's brother. See, they both came up through the ranks. There was a Rizzo involved, but that was his brother. Because what happened is that they called Wilson Good in the middle of the night. And see, you got to understand, in big cities, I don't know, in Philadelphia, I think probably most big cities, the police and firemen, it's like they're of the same gang, you know, because they work, you know, you work a scene, the fire and police are there, so they know each other. And so you've got the police, because remember, Rizzo he started off as a beat cop. He rose all the way up to be police commissioner, and then he was mayor. So, you know, he's got connections all over. Then his brother was fire commissioner. So they were, you know, they didn't like MOVE at all. And MOVE was not all about just black people either. There were white people in MOVE, believe it or not. And I was there. You know, I was living in Philly at the time. That was some fucked up shit. Osage Avenue.
When was that? About 75, 77?
85, 86.
Was it that late? I thought it was earlier than that.
No, it was in 85, 86. Between 84, let's say, to be positive, I could be 100% positive, 100% confidence, between 84 and 86. It was in the summer. But, and if you pin me on it, I would say 85. I would say 84, 85, yeah, to pin me on it, but I won't spend too much time on that. But it's in that time frame. So, you know, there was like a back, they were like,
they were activists.
Yeah, and they were just, you know, they were doing their thing, and neighbors didn't quite like them, but they weren't killing people. The whole thing was a setup. And Ramona Africa, she's still alive. She's a stalwart, you know, and they got paid out of that. And, you know, anyway, YouTube has a very, very credible documentary on the move. If anyone wants to brush up on that, because that really was a piece of American history. I mean, yes, nothing like that had ever happened.
Well, I got the other day, my niece who lives down in Houston now, God bless her. I don't pray much, but when I do, it's to put a circle of white light of peace, power and protection around her and her family living down there in Houston, down near Houston somewhere. Either she or her husband got a transfer. They were up in New England where the reasonable people live. But anyway, I got an email from her the other day. And she said, it was almost like, Uncle Scott, tell me about the olden days. Now, she was born in 76, August of 76. So that'll give you a rough idea of her age. She's married. She's got a couple of kids, professional woman. Her husband's a professional. The kids are wonderful, blah, blah, blah. But just sincere as you please, wrote to me and said, Was it ever like this before? Talking about the unrest and the upset and the continuing series of cop killings, murder by cop, is what it's been called. And I have to confess to her and recount some of the adventures that I have lived through in terms of civil unrest The biggest probably was in the wake of Martin Luther King's murder in April of 68, where Washington burned. And some of those places, they really didn't get rehabilitated. I mean, up on Upper 14th Street until the last 10 years. That's how neglectful the power structure is. You know, 40 years later, it's been 50, but it was like 10 years ago when they finally got around to saying, well, you know, this vacant lot has been here since April of 68. Let's see how we can make it pay off or improve the neighborhood or add a place or something. I don't know the story behind it, but there was more than one damn lot created in that madness. And I had to answer. I said, no, we're in uncharted territory. You know, and if I haven't seen it or heard tell of it, then you know we're dealing with some heavyweight shit. Because I have seen my share live through in history and up close of heavyweight shit.
Hey, let me do something here. We got somebody on the stress line, and let's just bring them into the conversation too. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Terry. What's up, guys?
Yeah. Hey.
I can't hear anybody else now, though.
Oh, you can't? Can you hear me?
Testing.
I can hear you, but I can't hear the other guy.
There goes Terry.
Yeah, they're there. Yeah.
Five. Oh, man, we're all merged. This is wonderful.
Yeah.
What's up, fellas? How do I sound, all right?
Yeah, you're pretty good.
Who is that?
Okay, yeah, I got a new head. This is Scary Jerry.
Scary Jerry.
Oh, Scary Jerry. All right,
Scary Jerry.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's up,
two
man?
Of the guys. You're two of the guys who I Yeah, you went. I want to call in, and then you'll call, and I go, no, I want to hear these guys. So it's all cool that we can all be on the line together. And instead of a hockey puck, I got a joint in hand. Hey, things have been. You know what? You played Obama. Thank you, by the way. So you played Barack yesterday. And I kind of fell asleep because I've been a little, a little stomach bug or whatever. And listening to Barack Obama was like an audio security blanket. It was the weirdest thing. I was like, oh.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Because I've never heard a full Obama speech, really, because he does kind of put you to sleep, but it's like, oh, everything's up. Barack talks. And which is the exact opposite of Trump. Where, you know, it's just terrifying. I wanted to call in because I had an interesting things go in waves. I'm a quote unquote essential worker. I mean, I do some of the spamming and advertising for one of the tech casting payday loan stores here in Florida. Which, quite frankly, we've been useful as fuck lately because the government can't get its shit together, you know. If you want a bridge loan or something like that, it's high, you know, friendly people, high rates, but, you know, it's money. Anyway, that's not my point. My point was I was passing out little papers on the dashboard, you know, on the windshield, little advertising. And I'm going through the parking lot doing my job. I was early that day. And as a black man, because I am a black man, my spidey senses started changing. And I heard an announcement over the PA system goes, don't touch that car. I was like, all right. Okay, the cops are sitting in the parking lot and said, don't touch it. Maybe that's his girlfriend's car or whatever. Let me just walk away. And as I walked and put on another car, he was right on my ankle. I was like, damn, that was quick. Damn, quiet. And this guy, he was the full Nazi man. Ball head. About 330 pounds, and I even get out of the car just looking at him. He looked like he was about 6'5". He He goes, this is your first warning. Motherfucker, the next thing is you're going down to Dade County and the COVID hotel right now. I'm like, wow, this man's threatening me with death because he doesn't, I don't know, he doesn't want me to pass out cards or anything. So this happened about a couple weeks before the George Floyd thing. And tonight's the first time we didn't have helicopters. You guys still there? Hello?
Yeah, we're all here. We're listening, man.
Okay. Tonight's the first night we haven't had helicopters passed over. There has been, in the last 5 days, I can't believe this troop's in the street. I can't believe they're going to start shooting people. I can't believe, I haven't watched the 8 minutes and 46 seconds, so I just saw one of the frames, and I said, no, I can't watch that. That shit will just fuck me up. And I was at a, what was I say? I was at a pharmacy, and I made a joke, because they were worried about protesting shit. I go, you know what? This shit started when the cops fired into the UPS car, killed the UPS driver, GTA style. Nobody did shit. No investigation or anything. It's been wild and current for the last 3 months. Intensely.
Jesus.
Yeah. I've been
where
in a...
Where are you,
and it's South Florida. So, right now, I'm in Broward County. They just turned off the curfew, I think. And, I'm right on the line between Dade and Broward. Yesterday, I caught a bus to the mall, and they were in full lockdown because we're in a $1 trillion area over here. There's a lot of nice shit over here. But that's the other thing. I was reminiscing to myself. I was like, I'm in a decriminalized city. It's funny, the whole relationship between people and the police when we basically 90% of the reason cops want to talk to anybody. So the vibe here, nobody's going to wreck up shit. Maybe a town up where in Hollywood, Florida, where it's like kind of oppressive, it'll pop up there. But this whole thing's crazy. And I woke up this morning and I go, damn, do I got to get rid of my Drew Brees shirt now? Because Drew Brees is fucking stupid shit. So you guys, Bob, Scott, Todd, I'm so glad that you're here. You're my audio security friend. We are the reason. That's it. Because we remember what we wanted America to be and what it's supposed to fucking be. This ain't it.
Nope, this ain't it. Maybe we're moving toward it, but we're not there. I mean, Jesus, are you? You're in South Florida. Did you hear about the arrests in Nevada, in Las Vegas?
I was just going to ask you that. You must have read my mind.
Three white guys.
I haven't. You know what? Other than.
Yeah, three white guys three white guys who were planning to launch an attack over the shutdown in Vegas, and then decided to expand their goals to take advantage of the murder of George Floyd. They are, and I hate the term. They're violent white wing extremists. But they consider themselves a member of the Boogaloo Boys. They were filling gas cans. They were making Molotov cocktails. They were going to take them to the protest in downtown Las Vegas. And here's the thing. Stephen T. Parshall, 35, Andrew T. Lynham, Jr., 23, and William L. Lewis, 40, are all United States military veterans. So that goes back to what I've been saying. We don't know how deep the problem lies inside the military, but those three were ready to commit murder.
I think it's about 20%. Just sticking my
here's
in the air and the wind as well.
North of you in South Carolina. Here's another story. There were Boogaloo radicals in the protests in Columbia, South Carolina.
Mm.
Well,
I've learned a large part of my job is I stand outside and watch cars pass, and I hold the sign. So you keep yourself mentally in the game because some people aren't paying attention, some people are on the phone, some people actually do want to hit you, speed up when they see you, not even consciously. There's a lot of them 3% are blue flag, Punisher, and there are a lot of them are in law enforcement and in the Army. You know.
So there, there it is, South Carolina, Vegas. And here's another one, guys. A deputy, a California sheriff's deputy, who was at a protest in Orange County. Hi, Billable Rick. Well, he's now under investigation because he showed up with 3% Oath Keeper and Don't Tread on Me patches sewn onto his government issue duty vest.
Holy fuck.
The 3% patches.
How about Bill Barr bring,
the 3% patches right Barr next to the deputy sheriff badge.
How about the Bureau of this guy last week I met wanted to, was that 2 weeks ago? He fucked me up. He wanted to kill me. As a black man, you know that feeling where your life is right now measured in minutes and seconds. If you twist the wrong way, it was one. Because I have cool contact with police. They're like, this guy, you know, speaks articulately, looks me in the eye, he's not twitchy, he knows the drill. And that was weird. I was like, I can't. Don't even move. This guy wants to kill me, and he's using any context to do it. So I think they all know that Trump is moving. I really do. And this is wild out they've been on for the last, 48 months? It's coming to an end, and they don't want it to come to an end. They all know you. Dead people are going to vote this year. People who don't think about politics are into politics. Hell, guys, you still there?
Yep.
I got a phone in the side.
Yeah, we're all here.
On. My girlfriend is a former MAGA person. It's the craziest thing. She's like a concealed carry person. She's like falling on hard times and shit. But easy, because, when you're on one side of the spectrum, it's easy to feel certain things. But when you bust your ass, and you're, all of a sudden you're on couches and in the street, the perspective changes. And we met, we clicked, we met. It's the funniest thing in the world. And he's a former MAGA person. So 2020 is weird as shit. Let me just say that. And I don't know what to do with any of it other than, hopelessly, shit, Bob. When you're not on at 5:01, I get a little twitchy. Like, is he okay? Did a mountain kill him? Did somebody still blow up? What's going on?
I
haven't watched any news or any commentary or anything. What did I do? I binge watched Better Call Saul. I'm about to buy season 15, and I've just been entertainment media intensive because. It's crazy by any metric.
How far are you into the series, Jerry?
Yes. I'm on I guess I just finished season 4, to where he says it's all good, man. I'm about to buy season 5 because it's a great escape. I redid The Wire. Oh, Bob, I have an interesting. Challenge I want to unveil for you.
Yes.
Tomorrow. Actually, I'll unveil it tonight. I call it my Deadwood Challenge.
Deadwood Challenge, okay.
Years ago. Every episode you watch, Well, if you watch it and you don't like it, I'll give you $10. If you get four in, I'll send 20. And that's my challenge, and everybody else can chime in because there's stuff we want you to watch, and it's, you know, we're going throwing strictly for the bride.
Deadwood.
All right, all right. I'll take that challenge.
Is that that's on HBO, isn't it, or was?
Yeah, it's everywhere though. It's almost a series. I mean, Deadwood is so incredible that after the season, because they ran out of money, I think it's season 3.5, and they just wrapped it up with an implausible storyline, and then they made a fucking movie 10 years later. They got
it's on Netflix too, I think,
and it was wonderful.
All right, I'll check it out. But
so
I'm telling you, Jerry,
that's fine.
Season five, Better Call Saul is going to kick your ass around the block.
Hey, wait a minute.
Season one.
Has everybody, including Bob, everybody, see this whole Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, it's monumental. I mean, it makes, for some people, it takes a while to appreciate it because you have to get beyond the drugs. It's not about the drugs. It's really not. And
yeah, kind of like The Sopranos really wasn't about the mob.
well, on some level, it was.
The Sopranos was about the mob. No, Breaking Bad.
No, I wasn't being a smartass.
The Sopranos was about relationships.
Right, exactly.
Like, for instance.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. I'm not trying to be funny. I mean, the first time you see it, sure, it's about the mob. But when you look at these things, like even Boardwalk Empire, you know, it's about
The Godfather. The Godfather was
Boardwalk Empire.
The Godfather wasn't about the mob. The mob is merely the vehicle.
Correct. Yep.
Breaking Bad is different. Breaking Bad is how organized crime is organized. There is that.
Man, that shit is so fucking real, though. Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, they mystery. Very
small. Shit. Do you know, Jerry, I waited up all night. I had access. I don't always have access to cable. But, I mean, I can, but I don't like to abuse it. I put it like that. But, well, you see the whole way that thing transpires. It is just fuck. It just, you can't wait. You cannot wait. This is real. This is like, it's just so fucking real.
How about
it's never been in a drug culture? That's how that shit works.
How about the way Kim smokes a cigarette? Oh my god. Just that.
See, I hate when I see people do that.
How
shit.
About
I'm
the
like,
way
you're gonna smoke or you're not?
Cigarette.
Don't be such a damn. Stop it. Don't be a female piece of genitalia about that way you smoke. Man, come on. You're going to smoke that cigarette or you're not. It's not a goddamn joint. You know, either going to smoke it. Because don't fuck with me about cigarettes. Now, I got to the point. My first cigarette was an unfiltered Camel. Then I progressed. I started smoking drums and, you know, rolling my own and all that. So I was the worst smoker
That's
you ever
hardcore.
Had.
That's hardcore.
Damn right. I love smoking. Man, look, when you're waiting on the subway, I used to love to miss the train. That shit, I can smoke two more cigarettes. You know, but you know, whatever. Everybody's
well,
does
yeah,
their
that's
thing,
how you
man.
Get the train
you
or
know,
the bus. That's how you get the train or bus to come, though. You roll a joint or roll a cigarette, and then it'll come.
Right. That's the restaurant rule. The way you get your meal to arrive back when you could smoke in restaurants, the way you make the meal arrive is to light a cigarette.
Hey, Bob.
And then there's your salad.
We're both in the bus right now.
Speaking
of Scott, this is important. This is really fucking important.
All right.
Did you ever watch The Big Lebowski twice?
I watched it 1.5 times. I still got it on my DVR.
You know how many years we've been talking about this shit, Scott?
don't go there. Don't go there.
I'm just being honest here. See,
hey, we moved on. We moved on. We were trying to get him to watch Squidbillies.
I forgot about that.
You gave up.
Oh, and by the way, note. Note coming in from Barbara. The move bombing was on May 13th, 1985, However, there was an earlier confrontation conducted by Rizzo in 1978 in Powelton Village section of Philly, where an officer was shot by friendly fire, but the MOVE member's house was destroyed and nine of them were sentenced to an undetermined amount of years. Three died in prison and six others spent close to 40 years in prison. So there's that. And I got a note from Lady B. Says, never saw Watermelon Man, just hearing about it. Also, white folks don't need to turn black, curl their hair, etc. Just enforce the law fairly and equally. Arrest white men for jaywalking, too. Arrest white men for aiming their guns at police officers. Arrest white men caught with an ounce of coke and put them in prison for 10 years. Promised myself I wasn't going to write if I didn't have anything nice to say, so I'm out. Down for $10 tomorrow. Thank you, Lady B. P.S. Love you, Scott and Todd. And I don't think
hey,
you were, when she wrote, I don't think you were on yet, Scary Jerry, so I'll extend that to you as well.
I love Lady B, man. I mean, when you invoke the idea of the hornet, I imagine us all literally around the fucking with a blunt lit and the stories going on in the into the night and maybe firefly.
Well, you know, it's
I don't know.
It's kind of bittersweet because Saturday, well, we would be smack dab in the middle of the horn in right now if it weren't for the pandemic.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. But, you know, it'll happen, just not right now.
And well, it'll
you
be
know
even
what?
Better.
I've been through it.
Anticipation makes it so. Anticipation always makes stuff better.
Oh, that it does.
Scott, can I mention something that you may attain? I mean, if you really wish to, you can attain this. Everybody, Scott, Jerry, anybody.
Okay.
But Bob brought it up, and it was so weird that I think I brought up talking about Grant and then you know, General Grant. And then Bob said he had been watching that newish series, I think it's new, you know, about Grant. I think I just watched the two first episodes. But and he was right. That I watched it, you know, because I had read, well, you have to read it a couple of times, the personal memoirs of Ulysses S. Grant. And it's like you have to be really dedicated. I mean, it's not something you're going to finish in a weekend or a year, maybe. It might take a couple of years to read it twice. But it's
well,
so
I'll tell you something. After I watched that miniseries, I wanted to order his memoir.
Well, and you know, a lot of the script, some of it is based right from the memoirs. But the thing is, it is the wonderful meld of a movie and a documentary. Because, you know, some people don't, like I do, but some people don't like documentaries. They're too dry.
Yeah.
And Bob, am I off base here?
No. No, you're not. You're solid.
Go ahead and get that.
Hey guys, we have reached the end of the program, but this has been a fun little exercise.
No.
Yeah, Billable Rick says it's not yet Friday on the front porch, but you've got a Thursday trifecta with Scotty Todd and Scary Jerry on the line. So this has been our first Thursday trifecta.
I got to do my
bang TV bang.
Doing
yeah.
Tip, Bob. Can I do it real quick? I'll be brief.
Go fast.
On Netflix. And I got to tell you, you got to make sure that you're that you have fortitude to deal with sleaze. It's a 4 or 5 part documentary about the lawyer that supposedly hung himself. That was the Trump, the rich guy. God, I can't think of his name now. The lawyer that hung.
Oh,
huh? Epstein.
Yeah, Jeffrey Epstein.
I mean,
The document. The name of the documentary is on Netflix. It's called Filthy Rich. And if you didn't hate privileged rich folks before you watch the series, you will definitely hate them. You'll write a nasty letter and not sign it and send it to a rich person after you've watched it. This man is
wow.
The epitome of sleaze. He makes, I happen to like Larry Flint personally as a free speech advocate, but he makes Larry Flint look like Mother Teresa or you know, some.
Are you talking about Roy Cohn? I think you're talking about Roy Cohn.
No, I'm talking about, well, that's another sleazy lawyer. Yeah, Jeffrey Epstein. The name of the
Epstein, was he a lawyer? He wasn't a lawyer.
No, he wasn't.
Okay, I'm
That's
sorry.
What I'm
not
saying.
A lawyer.
That's what I got.
A financier.
No, not a lawyer.
A financier. I'm sorry. I've been out all day and I didn't have any coffee.
Okay.
Don't just don't pick on me. But anyway, it's called Filthy
you
Rich. Check
okay.
it out.
I'm sorry, man. I have to work with Clary most of the day because I can't. No, anyway.
Well, all those privileged, crooked.
Let's talk about the challenge again, real quick.
Okay, so Filthy Rich on Netflix. Go, sure. Scary Jerry.
All right, two episodes. If you don't like it, $10. Four episodes. If you do like it, $20.
All right,
and avoid the plague episode. You got to acclimate.
Okay.
But you and I just have to sit down. It is glorious. It's all the stuff you talk about. It's about the formation of America, and it's who's the guy? Just watch it, Bob.
All right,
Ed Wood.
Consider it done.
All right. Okay. Love you all, guys.
All right.
I'll be tuning in tomorrow.
All right. Later, Scary Jerry. Todd. Scott.
Take care, Jerry. Take
Later,
care,
guys.
Todd.
Later, y'all.
Take care, Bob.
Everybody have a good evening.
Thanks. Well, that was fun. Nice way to wrap the program. So thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air so everybody can get it whenever and wherever and however they want it. Thank you. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program, no matter how you so choose to do. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room. And thank you to Steve. Steve popped in to do some pinch-hit moderating. Thank you very kindly, Steve from Georgia Stan, all-around great guy. Steve! Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Stay home, stay safe, wash your hands, don't touch your face, wear your gloves, wear your mask. And if you see a maggot coming towards you, avoid them like the plague. Because they are. Later, y'all.